A lot of young people think that the key to learning to accept adult responsibilities is to become independent of mom and dad. Josh Burnett says that's the wrong way to be thinking about entering into adulthood.
The one thing I would say to someone about to enter the real world is your parents are your parents. And so I've never talked to anybody who said, you know, I'm so glad that I cut them off. I'm so glad I stopped talking to my parents. That might be a case here and there, an exception. But I have talked to a whole lot of kids who have a lot of regret about not fostering or cultivating any type of relationship with their parents.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. There's a right way and a wrong way for parents and children to help that child's transition into adulthood work out well. We'll talk about it today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I'm still kind of hung up on this hashtag adulting thing. I'm just looking through these. So here's a woman who says, honestly, just counting down until I get my new vacuum on Wednesday. Hashtag adulting. I mean, when you're excited that the new vacuum is going to arrive on Wednesday, you're in the adult phase at that point. And here's first student loan payment, check mark, hashtag adulting. When you order your kitchen appliances and you get excited to start using your new toys, hashtag adulting. So there is a whole generation that's kind of embracing the fact that you're growing up and there is some excitement to growing up, isn't there?
Yeah, and I would say there's also a whole generation, and I was part of that generation younger that needs to grow up. I didn't know what growing up looked like. I was, a couple years ago, preaching on a Sunday morning, and my message was all about men stepping up, you know, to be men type deal. My assistant knows what I'm preaching on, sends me this text. I'm not kidding. I get this while I'm on stage. It comes up on my iPad and says, sitting at a restaurant with my husband, Andy, next to two young single guys. One is advising the other how to break up with someone. The one guy wasn't going to do anything, just stop calling her. His buddy said, be a man, send her a text. She says, no lie, unbelievable. They literally overheard that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
A part of knowing how to be an adult is knowing how to have relationships that are healthy relationships.
And that may not come naturally. Having raised three sons, I had to coach and teach them.
Sure.
She had to coach me. She's being nice.
Well, I don't think it comes naturally for any of us, not just guys who may be a little less relationally connected than most women are, but all of us are clumsy when it comes to relationships, don't you think?
I totally agree. And so that's why I think we need to be taught how to do that.
It's one of the subjects that you guys address, and by you guys, I mean our guests who are joining us again on Family Life Today, Josh Burnett and Pete Hardesty. Guys, welcome back.
Thanks for having us.
You have written a book on the subject of adulting. It's called Adulting 101. Relationships is one of those issues that you tackle. And Josh, you're working with employees at the Chick-fil-A that you're an owner-operator of. So I'm not imagining that in that environment you're giving a whole lot of relationship counsel. Maybe this is what's going on in the slow times at 3:30. Although it's never slow. There's always a line in the drive-thru, even at 3:30 at Chick-fil-A. Pete, you're working with high school and college-age students. I'm guessing that there may be a whole lot of conversation around relationships. This is something that high school and college kids are still trying to figure out, as we all did when we were in high school and college, right?
That age thinks about this once or twice a day at least, or more like once or twice a second. They're thinking about relationships, and not just relationships with someone they're interested in or with the opposite sex, but relationships with their family, relationships with their friends. And
who's teaching them? Who's teaching them how to have a great relationship?
They're watching sitcoms. They're getting it from Netflix, don't you think? Popular culture?
I think exactly. Popular culture, movies, celebrities, of course, social media. Anywhere that they see, they're inundated with messages all the time. Thousands of messages per day saying, this is what the goal is. This is what a goal in a relationship is. This is how you should treat someone. This is how you should treat a friend. On and on. And most of those messages, I wouldn't say are Correct.
I'd say they're a toxic mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Is what they are.
They're sabotaging our kids. Those messages are sabotaging them. And again, social media has claims to be connecting, and there is an element that is connecting us to other people. But for the most part, most of the young people that Josh and I get to interact with, we've seen over the last 10 or 15 years are less socially aware. They are not as good in person. They are not as good at interviews because they've just had less in-person interaction.
Yeah, I mean, they've spent their lives looking at a screen. Mm-hmm. And I've done it too. Look here, we don't look here. And a relationship is, I'm doing it right now. I'm looking at you guys. And it can get uncomfortable. And it's hard. And so you're coming alongside them, giving, you know, wisdom for life about relationships. I love some of the stuff in there. From dating, you have sexual relationships, you have work relationships. Talk about this. What do you think the number one thing a young person needs to know when you sit down and they say, help me with my relationship with my parents? What would you say?
I think a huge part of engaging with your parents well is listening to their why. And both parties, and this applies beyond parents to every relationship. And what I see oftentimes in the workplace is if they're not doing interpersonal relationships well in normal day-to-day life, then that's going to bleed over into their work life. They don't know how to interact with a boss or with somebody that works for them because they don't know how to interact on a peer-to-peer level anyway. So the more we can teach people to ask great questions and to listen to really understand one another, the better off that they end up being in our workforce because they can engage better with one another. And I think that applies to engaging with parents well, is just sit down and listen to why perspectives are what they are.
Dave, the first thing that came to mind for me is, you know, as I got older, my dad got wiser. As I got older, my mom became a genius.
Right.
Where I was, when I was in high school or even middle school, I didn't understand the world. We don't understand our parents. And there's something that happens. A lot of teenagers go temporarily insane. I did. Most of my friends did. And that happens where I would say to a mom or dad now that a lot of relationships that are very tough in those teenage years and into the maybe the early 20s, I think I've gotten to see over the last 20 years of working with young people, 25 years really, is a lot of those come back around to be very sweet. Not without work, not without love, not without initiative. But the one thing I would say to someone about to enter the real world is your parents are your parents. And so I've never talked to anybody who said, you know, I'm so glad that I cut them off. I'm so glad I stopped talking to my parents. That might be a case here and there, an exception. But I have talked to a whole lot of kids who have a lot of regret about not really fostering or cultivating any type of relationship with their parents. Mm-hmm. And so I would say wherever you are in that, on that relationship spectrum of you guys are really tight or maybe you're not, maybe you haven't spoken, I think most people don't regret reaching out and having a relationship with their parents. So I think it's just a matter of time and of reaching out.
You're right. Certainly there are situations where there are harsh, abusive relationships with parents where somebody says, I am better off because that got severed. But for the most part, if a young person, I'm thinking about my relationship with God, there are times when I don't understand why the path I'm on is the path that God has chosen for me. And I wonder and I question and I protest. Mm-hmm. And yet if I pull back and go, okay, God's wise, God loves me, God has my best interest at heart. I don't see everything that he sees. Maybe he sees some things I don't see. Maybe I just need to learn how to be comfortable with this for a season. The same thing's true for a teenager or a college student. If they can pull back and go, okay, my parents love me. I'm confident that they do really have my best at heart, that they care about me. And maybe they know a few things about life just through having lived longer. They may not be as hip as I am with all of the current stuff that's going on, but maybe they know a few things about life that I don't know, and maybe I can trust their judgment even though I chafe against it right now. I mean, all kids chafe against restrictions their parents put on them, but if they can recalibrate. I remember having a conversation with our youngest son, and he was an atypically compliant child. Not all of our kids were like this, but David was the high school student who would say, can I do this? And I'd say, no, we're not going to do that. And he'd go, okay. And I'm thinking to myself, he's one of these, when I get to college, I'm going to finally get to do whatever I want. But I asked him one day, I said, you make me a little nervous with how compliant you are. And he said, well, first of all, he said, I watched my brothers and my sisters be non-compliant, and it didn't do them any good, right? So I learned enough to go, okay, this is not the way to be. And second, he said, I believe you guys have my best at heart, and even if you're wrong, you're trying to do the right thing. And I thought, well, thank you, Jesus.
Wow, that's maturity.
Right. It was amazing maturity on his part. And not all kids are like that, but if you can help your kids know. And I think as parents, we can tell our kids, look, I love you desperately, and I want the best for you, and that's why I'm putting these restrictions. I know you don't like them, but you just have to know, I think this is best, and I'm doing it with your best interest at heart, and I'm sorry it makes you sad, but that's where we're going to be with this. They may still go away angry and chafing, but at least they've heard that in the back of their head, and they can go, okay, I think mom and dad really do believe me, but I still wish I could go do what I want to do, right?
Yeah, and I would even add, I heard you guys say it, ask questions, listen to your parents, goes the other way as well. I think I saw research recently, number one complaint about teenagers about their parents is they just don't listen. And I looked at that and I'm going to go, they're exactly right. So when we ask as a parent, I know there's a lot of parents listening right now. It's like, man, we engage, just like Bob said, here's my rule. Here's where I'm laying down. Now, let me hear what you think of that. Mm-hmm. Let's dialogue. There's relationship building. And you're modeling and teaching your child how to do relationships well when it gets hard.
Dave, what would it look like for parents when their college kids came home for Christmas if all they could do was ask questions?
Mm.
And I think that also goes both ways. For the young people out there, when they go home for break, what would it look like if you got to know? Do you know how your parents met? Do you know where they went on their honeymoon? Do you know? I realized when I got to college, I didn't really know that much about my parents because I had never asked. And so I wonder, what if it was just one night where all you could do was ask questions? There was no telling. There was no, this is the deal. This is what I want. This is no judgment. It's just questions.
I think a lot of parents never make the jump or don't make the jump early enough or well from being what I call a cop to being a coach.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
And then eventually becoming a consultant. Mm-hmm. And so they're still trying to be a cop with their kids when their kids are in college. And that does not work with a college kid for mom to try to be a cop. She's got to pull back and go, that's not my job anymore. My job now is to be coach and consultant. And it's back to what we've talked about earlier. They're going to make some bad choices, and you got to recognize God's in control of that, and he's protecting them, and they'll learn from their bad choices.
When Ann and I started dating, her dad was my high school baseball coach, so I knew him. In fact, funny story, he barred me from ever dating his daughter.
because Dave had such a bad reputation.
Right?
I don't know what he's talking about, but no, so I literally snuck around and we started dating and I won eventually the whole thing. But here's the amazing thing. When he became my father-in-law and I didn't really have a dad growing up, so he's really becoming my dad. I remember saying to him first year of marriage, Dick, you actually listen to me. You ask me my opinion and you actually don't tell me I'm wrong. You go with my opinion. What is up? I remember asking because I'd never really had an adult do that, and I'll never forget it. And it was a model now for what I wanted to be as a dad later. He said, oh, we're adult to adult now. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, parent-child's over. You're a man. I'm a man. I'm going to treat you like a man. We're adult to adult. And he goes, that's what you got to do at some stage. You got to pick that age and say, I'm no longer going to be the parent-child, although you always are. It's going to be adult to adult. And I thought, what a great model, because he was actually listening to me. Nobody had ever done that at that age.
I think my dad, too, it was interesting because I had two brothers, and at the age of 16, and most people won't agree with this, but my dad had my brothers call him Dick, his name, because he said, I will always be your dad, but now you're my peer. Mm. And he would always, our friends would all come, and my dad would sit and just ask questions to all of our friends. And it was a magnet for all of our friends to want to sit with him because he wanted to know them. So as parents, let's say we have a teenager that's not really talking a lot, and we're asking a lot of questions, but we're getting a you know, they're just grunting. Do you have any tips of what parents could do? We've talked about what kids can do, ask, and we've talked about parents asking questions. Anything else that you guys think this would be really helpful for that teen that's just kind of outside doing their own thing? How would you encourage moms or dads to get in with their kids? Is it, can they do it?
I think every teenager is excited about something. So it's tapping into what drives their passion. And then asking questions around that. If you ask questions that you hope to know the answers to, or you want to have an agenda at the end of it, that's oftentimes why that dialogue's going to die. Mm-hmm. But if you ask questions that really engage them around a topic that they care about, I think that that's a much healthier and much happier dialogue.
That's good.
And also it's much more an art than a science, you know, as far as getting to know. Every kid is different. Every college student is different. Like Josh said, I do think there are some things that activate people. And so some of that is stepping back and looking. And I would say that the other thing that comes to mind is I've seen great moms and dads that have helped unlock their children when they've gotten withdrawn or quiet or rebellious or fill in the blank, is they start to dream for their son or daughter.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
I think no one dreams for people anymore. It's kind of, you want to develop, you just want to kind of get them to, they're not totally messing up, making these, you have soft fails, or you're not making life altering, you know, decisions that have terrible consequences. And part of that takes cultivation of knowing who that child is and what that child is excited about, what they're good at. And I'm not talking about dreaming necessarily for a career, but one of my mentors would always say, we hold a crown above people's heads and we help them grow up into it. So I think some moms and dads really do have a hope for their child. Maybe they've never shared it, or they don't know. They maybe haven't thought about, who do I want this child to become? Not necessarily what career track, but who. Who do I want them to be? If we become the right person, we'll do the right things. But I think a lot of time, like what Dave said, it's just listening. I'm surprised, even just in my own, listening is such a rare skill that the people that like to talk, you know, I'm half Italian, is they don't listen very well. And so you can't get a, if you came to my family party on Thanksgiving, you can't get a word in edgewise. You wouldn't, you know, this radio program would not work. But I think listening and just showing up, and depending on how long that's been where you felt like there's been a break in the relationship, it might take some time. It might not be able to be solved one good dinner or one, like Josh said, maybe finding out what they're excited about and taking a step of faith and maybe making an overture of something, some experience or tickets to something or a concert or something as far as a first step. But if it's been that way for a while, it might take a while before that, you know, relationships take time.
You know, we've kind of locked on to the parent-child relationship as we're talking about relationships. But when we're talking about young people who are learning how to be adults, what's the difference between how a child does relationships and how an adult does relationships? And how can we help our children become more adult in their ability to relate? I think listening's a good part of the glue in all of that. But what's the difference between the way kids do relationships and the way grownups do relationships?
There's not much in a normal relationship, but in a healthy relationship, I think it moves from a me focus to a you focus. And this, again, plays out all the time in the workforce. The people that do the worst in leadership are the ones that are there to be served. And the ones that we see progress through the ranks and do very well and the team enjoys engaging with them are the ones that are there to say, how do I make this job easier for the people that technically report to me? Mm. And so for me, that's really a huge one.
Yeah. Adulting is a big part of it, is learning to take your eyes off you as the center of the universe and recognize I'm here in an ecosystem that involves other people, and I need to be a contributor to that rather than it just being all about me, right?
So a number of years ago, I had perhaps the best employee that had ever worked for me over the last 7 years work for me at that time. And she was stupendous. She was the best person on the floor, knew all the operations, could hire well and do all these things for the operation, but no one liked her. Mm-hmm. So despite it being the most high-capacity, smartest person in the entire store for us, ultimately we had to let her go because she could not figure out the relational component to what she had to do. People that were less qualified and not as good at their job moved past her and kept their jobs even, and she was not able to because of this relational component.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting in your book you got into the, and it's what Bob was asking, the adult way to do relationships is EQ, understanding people, reading people. You put that in your book.
Yeah, EQ, that's emotional intelligence, somebody's emotional quotient, right?
Yeah, which is one of the greatest gifts. And it's something you can learn, right? To just not, it's not about me. It's about looking you in the eye and trying to understand and listen and see what's really going on in your life. Here's what's really interesting. I didn't know this till maybe a decade ago, that the most famous passage in the Bible about love, you've heard it at every wedding. Which one is it?
1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah, right. I knew you knew it. The love chapter, right? Mm-hmm. It's really interesting when you study what Paul's doing there. It's adulting 101. It's really interesting. In fact, at the end of that, he says in verse 11, in chapter 13, he says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways." Here's the context that most people don't know. When he's saying love is patient, love is kind, it's not self-seeking earlier in the chapter. When you study what's going on in that church, division, he says they were like children doing relationships. They couldn't get along. He says, let me show you what adult love looks like. And it's almost a scolding of the church to say, you guys don't get this. You're acting like little kids. Adult 101, let me show you. Love is patient. Love is kind. I mean, it's the most beautiful thing you've ever read, but it's just what you guys are saying. It's like, it's not about me. It's not a self-seeking love. It's a self-giving love. So let me ask you this. You said there's the four core. When you're looking for an employee that you're trying to hire, I mean, that you talk, when you mentioned that earlier, I thought that is a adulting grow-up moment where you're saying, this is what a person does and how they act when they do relationships well. Share that.
So whenever we're engaging with a potential new hire, we're looking for four elements in addition to the answers to their questions, but are they creating eye contact with the people around them?
All right, hang on. If you want to apply for a Chick-fil-A job,
there we go.
Get your pencil out right now.
Yes.
Eye contact is number one.
Well, yes. Every wife is thinking, oh my gosh, I want that. My husband to do this.
To treat me like a Chick-fil-A and to say my pleasure anytime I ask for something.
Yes, this is paradise.
Husbands, come work at Chick-fil-A. That.
Eye contact's number one.
Sharing a smile. Can they smile and break down the barriers with the guest? Can they speak with any measure of enthusiasm, or do they sound like they can't be there at all, deadpan? And then can they stay connected? What does that look like? Are they able to continue to engage with the guest after the order is complete? Do they have a genuine, proactive, caring approach to the people that they engage with, or do they not? So those are the core four that Chick-fil-A looks for in potential new
hires.
In
a husband.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, we laugh about that, but honestly, think about that in marriage.
Yes.
If you're maintaining eye contact and communication and you're smiling and there's some genuine enthusiasm and then you stay connected, I mean, a lot of marriages would do a lot better if that's going on, wouldn't they?
I bet I've had hundreds of women say to me, if my husband would just look me in the eye and act as if he's interested in what I'm saying.
She said that to me. Trust me, it isn't hundreds of women. That was code for my husband.
Well, and to put down a device, you know, hey, look at me over here. But I love those principles.
Okay, we've gotten off of adulting into Anne's passion point.
Okay.
But here's the point. We're talking about what you said, Dave, the difference between how kids do relationships, where it's selfish, it's about me, where I'm childish, where I want all the attention and all everything to come one way, and the way grown-ups have to learn how to do it, which is to be patient and kind and not self-serving and all of the things that are listed there in 1 Corinthians 13. And as parents, we got to help our kids know how to develop these kinds of healthy relationships with the opposite sex, with same sex, in the workplace, wherever it is. You've got to be better at relationships. You cover that in one section of the book, Adulting 101, and it's just a good reminder for us as parents that we need to be providing some guidance for our kids as they transition into adulthood. We've got copies of the book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. This is a book you could read through with a high school student, even a college student, or a book that you could share with a young adult who would benefit from going through these subjects. Again, the title of the book, Adulting 101, Wisdom for Life, by Josh Burnett and Pete Hardesty. You can go online to order a copy at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get your copy. Again, the website, familylifetoday.com. The number is 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. Ask for your copy of Adulting 101 or order it from us online. Now, as always, we want to take a minute and just say thank you to those of you who have made today's program possible. Family Life Today is listener-supported, and the reality is there's a small percentage of those of you who are not just listeners, but who also make this program possible for others in your city, in your community. You have benefited from this program, and you want to share it with others, and we're grateful to be in partnership with you. If you're a longtime listener, you can help us continue and expand the ministry of Family Life Today by becoming either a monthly legacy partner or by making a one-time donation that helps cover the cost of producing and syndicating this daily radio program. You can donate easily online at familylifetoday.com or call to donate at 1-800-FL-TODAY. Let me say thanks in advance for whatever you're able to do to help support this work. We're grateful for you and glad to have you as part of the team. Now, the president of Family Life, David Robbins, is here with us again today. He's been paying attention as we've been talking about these adulting themes. David, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. You know, as Josh shared those four core competencies that he looks for in an employee, I couldn't help but reflect on the fourth one for myself. I mean, you know, life is busy. And the question for me is, do I stay connected and present in conversations, especially with my kids? Do I delight in my kids when they're rambling in excitement and stringing together sentences with no breath to keep the floor so that the other kids don't join in?
Okay, let's be honest, though. It's hard to stay connected when they're
talking
about it.
Often I don't, Bob. That's the point. They're pouring their heart out, usually about something, frankly, I don't care about that much. But they're longing for connection and availability from their father, just as I long for connection with my Heavenly Father. And one of the things that makes Jesus so compelling in the Gospels is his relational focus. He listened. He was fully present. And he connected with people. And he consistently responded in grace and truth. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you have the Spirit empowering you to be able to do the same with your family.
That's a great reminder. Thank you. Now, tomorrow, we're going to continue the conversation about adulting and talk about something that's pretty critical, and that is financial management. Do our kids, as they enter into adulthood, know how to manage their money, how to avoid debt, how to pay their bills? We're going to talk about all of that tomorrow. I hope you can be with us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.